Three Wide NASCAR Podcast back on the airwaves one more time. Eddie Greer, host of the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, aka EG3, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Get Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, coming to you from, as usual, Manhattan, Kansas, where we do this podcast, that recording this on a Thursday, just before lunch hour. Of course, you follow me at EG3_fast. Eddie, again, there might be a change to my handle, I don't know yet, but stay tuned for that. But for right now, as usual, at EG3_fast. Eddie, and of course, you can find the Three Wide Podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether it's from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and more. We'll get that all caught up on SoundCloud site. They're here hopefully next week. It's just been a crazy last week and change for me. So that will be part of the second half of the podcast here today, as this is going to be a one-day show. Big D is not here, and usually, yeah, we record this podcast late in the afternoon and evening, but yeah, due to my circumstances, yeah, Big D's at work. I am here. I return to work, actually, really, beginning with radio stuff with the tournament here coming up this weekend for Flint Hills Christian School. Here, a big tournament coming tomorrow and Saturday, as I'm recording this podcast right now. Looking forward to that, getting in the groove a little bit, and I return to full-time duty here on Monday. So that's going to be fun and interesting at the same time, but looking forward to getting back into a groove. Not that I'm already in a groove, but yeah, getting back into more of a daily routine of things here in the old MHK, where we do the podcast. That, yeah, so Big D's here. I'm doing the duties, folks, here. And yep, Thursday prior to lunch hour. So yeah, this is at time right now is 11:37 live here, at least. And then of course I'll get this up and running here tonight, so for you guys to listen to, heading into Auto Club Weekend, the West Coast Swing in full force. And yeah, as I said, that story is coming up about me in the second half of the podcast, as well as, of course, Bounty Time in the Kenner Outdoor Truck Series and lots more. But we're going to go right straight into business, and I'm going to switch things up a tad. I'm going to talk a tad about the Xfinity Series. And I did not see, much of the Xfinity Series race last weekend. All I know is, you know, a lot of talk has been about Chase Briscoe in that number 98 Ford. Yes, and yes, he won the race last week out in Las Vegas, leading 89 laps en route to a big victory over Austin Cindric and Ryan Sieg, your top three from the Xfinity Series race last week. But yeah, Chase Briscoe, there's an article on The Athletic last week talking about him specifically, and somebody saying that, you know, you need eight wins or you're not cup eligible, something like that, to that extent. And Chase Briscoe, we know some of his background a little bit from dirt and whatnot with Cole Custer, up in the Cup Series now and doing his thing. Cole Custer put down around that same win total last year. I believe it was 6 or 7 wins last year. And Chase Briscoe, that win was huge for multiple reasons. Not only for his confidence, but obviously, you know, missing out on Championship 4 barely last year. And all the attention now, there's not a second car. And all the attention now is focused on that 98. So you would think this should be a big year. And he's going to be probably one of the bigger favorites going out there to Auto Club here this weekend coming up. But yeah, huge for Chase. This was a two-day event. And of course, rain has been a story already in the early stages of this NASCAR season. You're talking about Mother Nature. Rain invaded Vegas last Saturday. It carried over to there, and then it actually the race started for a little bit, and then rains continued and went on and off, and then somewhere in there somebody tweeted on my timeline there was sleet somewhere in there. I don't know if that was true or not, but yeah, all kinds of weather out there, so they had to moved it to after the Cup race last weekend. And yeah, Briscoe 89 laps en route to win number one, and somebody else to keep an eye on. Yes, this dude is a road course ace, no doubt. He's proven it ever since he arrived in the Cup Series. That is gigantic, tall, lanky, skinny Austin Cindric, who finished in the run-up spot. And he is knocking on the door to getting that first oval win. I mean, last year he tore it up on the road courses. Now he's looking for that first oval win, and he led 39 laps in the Xfinity Series race last weekend out there in Vegas. So that's something to keep an eye on. And Austin Cindric is a guy that could, and I've, for whatever reason, have overlooked him a little bit, but we should not overlook the guy, because obviously he's going to be somebody you're going to have to contend with throughout the season. Yes, the big three from last year, as we all know by now, we should all know, but if you don't, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Tyler Reddick dominated the series last year. And then you had Austin Cindric playing spoiled for a little bit for those road course races there. But the big three gone. Who's going to be the big three that's going to step up here? At least to this point, I'm not saying the big three yet, but already Noah Gregson, huge win at Daytona to open up the season. And then last week, you have Chase Briscoe winning the race there last week. So Austin Cindric is going to be a player in that thing. And in his top 10 here, we go through it here for a few minutes here. You got Wood, Ryan Sieg, who was a big factor last year in the first half of the season, finishing up there in the third spot. That's kudos to that team right there in the mix for that 39 Chevrolet. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, the Boyd Gaming 300. Kind of a small recap here, if you will, here before we talk about the Pennzoil 400 for a little bit in the first half of the podcast. Noah Gregson, Daytona winner, fourth. Harrison Byrd, fifth. Brandon Jones, Michael Annette, Justin Allgaier, Riley Hurst, and Ross Chastain round out the top 10. And this top 10 here, maybe realize this top 10 here is going to be much of a factor throughout most of the year, you would think, with the departures of Bell, Reddick, and Custer for sure from the Boyd Gaming 300 last weekend. Chase Briscoe taking the win. And of course, you fast forward now to the present time where Auto Club Saturday with the Production Alliance Group 300 on FS1. That's a 2 o'clock Central Time start, 3 Eastern Time. FS1, MRN back on the call on the radio after PRN did a doubleheader last weekend. But yeah, Chase Briscoe is going to be one of those heavy favorites again, because last year, obviously, it was a Kyle Busch sweep, which was part of the win 200 in the Cup Series last year. I'll touch on that briefly here momentarily as we roll through the first half of today's episode, if you will, speaking. But yeah, Briscoe, he's going to be a favorite there because Cole Custer won last year, knocking off Kyle Busch head-to-head, late in that race last year. So Ford Power showing up early in this thing. Ford going 1-2 in the mix there. And you have two Chevys and a Toyota there in the top five right there in the Xfinity Series. Moving on now to the big show last week, the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube. Joey Logano And Paul Wolf, you knew this was somewhat of a match made in heavy, at least for Penske standards, at least when he made a switch, when he did a slight makeover for all the teams, particularly the crew chiefs and drivers, Paul Wolf and Joey Logano. Obviously, when you look at it on paper, and really, physically, this is a heavyweight match in NASCAR heaven, and it proved a point last weekend in Vegas, there where Logano apparently was supposed to pit late in the race there. Paul Wolf made the call there to stay out there on the track where a lot of the people who were in the top, or a lot of the drivers who were in that top 10 there, went to pit, and that's why you got this funky looking top 10 there coming off the sheet last weekend in race number one of the West Coast win there. Yeah, I did a triple check at this because like what happened? But yeah, you would have thought originally that the drivers who went down the pit road would come through the field faster. It did not happen that way. And the guys who stayed out benefited from that. That included Matty Benedetto, Ricky Stenhouse, who was on a total different strategy than anybody else throughout the race there, getting in the top three. But Joey Logano, he was up there all day long, battling out for the lead, and at different times during the race, making some heavy blocks like he usually does. And then when it counted the most, Paul Wolf making the game-winning call to stay out there. Joey was going to pit there, and he did not. Paul Wolf, I credit Paul Wolf for this victory, in my opinion, getting Logano the victory here over Matthew Benedetto, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., top three from the Pennzoil 400. First West Coast swing, big victory there. Logano gets it. Logano led 54 laps in this race. Stenhouse, who finished third, and like I said, seconds ago, was on a total different strategy from Brian Patty. This 47 Chevy from JTT Doherty showing some speed here early on in the early stages of the season, of course, snagging the pole for the Daytona 500 a couple weeks ago. And now, you know, getting his third place finish. Yeah, he was not up there, but when he was on that strategy, though, he was up there and staying right there in the mix. So Brian Patty doing Brian Patty stuff there for Stenhouse, crediting that third place finish. We really look at this, and you know what? Let's just go through bringing back the full field rundown here for y'all folks here in Manhattan, Kansas, here on this Thursday as we're approaching really the end of this month, February 27th, 2020. And when we come back here to do it all over again next week, it's going to be March already. That's something here. Timmy Hill, the Cinderella story of Daytona. Well, he finished shotgun through the field. 38th, Ryan Preece, their 37th, matches his car number there. That's a bad sign there for bad juju there for Preece. Michael McDowell, 36th. Garrett Smithley, 35th. Reed Storrs in 34th. Christopher Bell, who brought one of the cautions there, had some issues there. Bell. And oh, by the way, if you have not listened to the Bob Levine interview there I did with that race team a couple weeks ago, where you're missing out on that, I encourage you to go back, download it, check that out. One of my favorite interviews of the existence of the Three Wide podcast. Go check that out. Bell, though, rough afternoon last week, finished deep in the field, 33rd. Quinn Hoff, 32nd. Joey Gase, 31st. In the rough story for Suarez, continues slow, very slow out of the box. Not even in the first turn. Suarez did not get off the gate fast. That car sputtered and somehow finished in the 30th spot. But yeah, it's an awful, awful start for a guy that was in top flight equipment. And now, I just got a bad feeling this is going to go in the Clint Bowyer direction, where Clint Bowyer was with H. Scott after coming off almost a championship run with Michael Waltrip Racing there a few years back. This has all the signs. I'm just afraid that all signs point to that for Daniel Suarez, who finished in the 30th spot. This is a 3-wide podcast with EG3, Eddie Gritter III. He was the guys on this final week of February here, breaking down the first race of the West Coast Swing, and we're two races in to the NASCAR season here. Brendan Poole, 29th, JJ Yeley, 28th, Chastain, who was in the 6th, the replacement for Newman here, and before we go to intermission, I will talk about the whole Ryan Newman epic story here on Newman, but Ross Chastain getting the nod for the 6th. And did a fine job throughout most of the race. And then, you know, he likes to overstep the boundaries of the race car or truck or Xfinity car, whichever vehicle he's in. Chastain messed up and he finished in the 27th position. The dominant car of the afternoon, Chase Elliott. Georgia Chase finished in the 26th spot, winning both stages. And you would have thought, you know, everything, you know, we know Chase is going to win a couple of races this year. Chase, Chase Elliott there, that's unfortunate there for him, leading 70 laps in this race. You would have thought that all signs would have pointed that. And there was a stat on Fox there. The last 5 Vegas races, the winner of stage 2 likely went on to win that race. Obviously, with this 26th place finish here by Chase, that streak ended there with a thud there. And Elliott there missed opportunity for that 9 team there to get some points there. Already, Chase Elliott, he won stage 1 back in the Daytona 500. He has 3 playoff points there, but huge missed opportunity there for Elliott, which was Joey Logano's gain. And Kurt Busch there. Kurt Busch, 25th. John Hunter, 24th. Eric Jones. Jones, 23rd in this race. I'm going to touch on the Toyotas a bit here in a little while. William Byron, 22nd. Eric Almirola, 21st. The pit saga, pit road struggles continue for Martin Truex Jr., costing him a sure top 10 finish for him. 20th place finish there for Martin Truex Jr. after running much inside the top 6 for much of the day there. That was frustrating. And shout out to Truex Nation again, who a lot of people listen to this podcast are Truex people, Truex fans of the podcast, which leads, if you're a first time listener of the podcast, I am a MTJ fan. Most notably, yeah, it's frustrating when your favorite driver is up there in contention for a victory. I have said this, I don't know how many times I have said this over and over the last few years, especially when Martin has been up front when it comes to crunch time, a certain critical point of the race turn right there when the pit crew or did they or did they not put the lugs tight on a 19 Toyota there. And Martin's credit there and James Small, they had the fastest Toyota car by far for that camp. You know, yes, this Toyota camp, this is, you know, Auto Club this week, this is huge. You know, this showing by Toyota overall, you know, putting Truex aside for a moment, this gotta be disappointing for them. I mean, 19 wins coming off of a huge Daytona 500 win the week before. Yes, you know, overshadowed by the horrifying Newman wreck. But Denny Hamlin was nowhere to be found in there. Denny Hamlin finished 17th there in the running sheet there. But Denny Hamlin was nowhere to be found. Kyle Busch, yeah, you know, we all can't count Kyle Busch. Yeah, we all know that. We all learned our lesson from the championship race last fall and all that. But he was nowhere to be found either. You know, this is huge because it's in Toyota's backyard. And I said it on a podcast last week. We're going to start to answer some of these questions. Chevy looks like they've answered the bell here a little bit with their adjustments from a year ago. Obviously, bring a different body this year for their packet, for their race setup of their car, if you will. And when we saw that in full force, huge I want to say a must win, if you will, for Toyota. But this is a huge race here for those guys this weekend. And if they struggle like they did Vegas, that's going to be a huge warning sign there. And Truex, obviously, the class of the field when it comes to Toyota, staying part of that. But huge disappointment for that finish there. It just happened far too much there to see Martin in that situation there where, you know, obviously the whole putting the tires on backwards last year, he had it by far, in my opinion, the championship winning car there. That got all screwed up there, if you will. And now here, you know, you're in position there possibly to contend for a victory here, you know, depending if this thing plays itself out besides the stupid caution coming out. But yeah, it's just frustrating, and you can't help but hold your breath every time Martin goes down pit road there, and all of a sudden you see the pit crew either too slow, or it's always something. So, you know, it's just a tough break there. But hey, I mean, at some point the pit crew, they got to get together, or change is going to have to be made. I mean, you can't keep making the stupid same mistakes every week and expect to win. That goes for all sports. You can't make the stupid same mistakes with the same personnel every time. And that's probably the same thing what's going on with this K-State basketball team, men's basketball team, with this Cartier, Jada, Bruce Weber situation, which has gone on all year long. So, you know, this 19 pit crew got to get together soon, or change is going to have to be made. I'm just straight up. I mean, that it's frustrating as a fan. Cole Custer, Tyler Reddick, 19th, 18th, respectively, talked about Denny Hamlin. Corlett Joy, 16th in this running order here. So, nice for the 32 bunch for Go Fast. Kyle Busch, 15th. Chris Buescher, 14th. Bowman. Alex Bowman was in contention for a win at Vegas there until the caution came out. Alex Bowman, 13th, and he was a part of one of my fantasy teams here. I'll touch on that in the second half of the program. Bowyer, 12th. Ryan Blaney. It was going to come down to between Blaney, very strong, 19 laps led in this race, and Bowman. Definitely sucks that the caution came out, because definitely it'd be interesting to see which one of the guys get the victory. And obviously Ryan Blaney. How many times have we talked about him being in a situation that he can win the race, and all of a sudden something happens late in the race there? Blaney, strong. They're just outside the top 10 here, which now leads up to that. Ty Dillon in a Chevy. They're bringing home in the 10th spot. Kyle Larson, 9th. Kevin Harvick, who led 92 laps in this race. Harvick, a strong 8th. Keselowski, 7th. Bubba finished home, comes home 6th. Jimmy Johnson there, coming alive there in that 48. Top 5 run there. Jimmy Johnson was up in that mix all day. Austin Dillon, he was nowhere in the top 10 much of the day. Somehow ends up 4th in an already mentioned the top 3 from the Pennzoil 400, including your race winner, Joey Logano, Stenhouse, DiBenedetto, and the 22 team getting on the board there. This is the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3. Just a few more minutes in this first half of the Race Reaction Edition of Vegas. So, Logano there finishing, obviously, winning the race there. But yeah, Chevy there. You have six of the top 10 there, and the rest of them Fords. And like I said, touch on a Toyota, not a single car in that top 10. Obviously, Truex would have been there, having the pit crew effed up the situation there after stage 2 there. And bad timing there. You talk about bad timing there. Martin was going to come on to talk with Jeff Gordon after stage 2 there, and I tweeted it out there. What an absolutely bad time for that. So definitely frustrating. You know, it's become too predictable. In my eyes, I have to hold my breath every time. I mean, it just happened far off too much there. Sorry to get on the soapbox, but I have to bring it up, obviously, because he would have been in contention for a victory there. So, but I was very encouraged with the speed there. Just on the 19th alone. Very surprised by everybody else in that Toyota camp. So they're going home to Cali here this weekend. And We're going to find out if they can answer the bell, because off Chevy, off the mat here, showing that, hey, we're going to be sticking around here in Bowman, pretty much said that, summarizing that as well, that, hey, we're going to be pretty much in the ball game this year. And if that happens, there's Chevy and Hendrick Motorsports there, if they can put a whole race together. And I don't know what happened to Chase Elliott there at in real time there last week, because didn't miss the watching any of it there, getting us watching how to come back from DVR and watch the rest of the race there. But yeah, man, guys, six of the top 10, obviously the rest of them there, if you figure it out by now, on this Thursday afternoon, Fords led by the 1-2 punch of Joey Logano and Matt DiBenedetto there, coming home in the second spot there. We'll see, you know, moving forward, especially Auto Club, where you need to have speed there. 3, 4, 5 wide. We saw that 4 wide there going in, starting of stage number 3 right there. So, whew, a lot of stuff going on there. Obviously, the West Coast swing continues with that crew here coming up with a Cup Series here, switching the mat here. That's not what I wanted here. Obviously, Big D's not here, so I'm doing double duty, which is totally fine with me. Auto Club 400 going down on Fox Sunday, 1:30 Central Time. Coverage starts 1:30 Central Time on Fox. MRN has coverage of that. The Gainer Outdoor Truck Series off for a couple weeks. Touch base on them real quick. Start second half of the podcast in a few moments there. So that's kind of my takeaways there from the race right there. Definitely would have loved to see the caution not come out there and let the thing play itself out for the second straight race. We saw what the Daytona 500 played out after Chase Elliott spun there coming into turn one. They let the race play out there, and we all know that situation, what happened there. And in this case here, caution comes out there, and we know who won the race right there. And I want to touch base on Newman to close out first portion of the podcast. Ryan Newman, this epic story here, unbelievable. And then yesterday, pictures were posted that Newman, obviously, this dude looks like he can go out here and still go out this weekend race here. Obviously, he is not medically cleared at this moment in time, and not going to be cleared, obviously, for this weekend, obviously. And everybody, the rumor is, and some of the articles say head injuries, so we don't know the complete extent of those injuries. But Newman, this dude looks really good compared to what we've seen him or really heard from the Daytona 500 weekend. Obviously, pictures, Newman walking out of the hospital with his two daughters there, and then walking into the shop to a standing ovation there, crew, everybody else there. So unbelievable. This looks like you can make this out of a movie, obviously, in my opinion. Just some awesome stuff there, and Newman getting better here, and we'll have to see when next time. We'll definitely see him back on the racetrack. It's a matter of when for Newman in that team. But as I'm looking at the, let's see, not what I want right there. At this moment in time, the entry list has in that six, Ross Chastain in the six car this weekend heading the Auto Club. And like I said, Ross Chastain did a tremendous job in the six, except, again, overstepping the boundaries there and ended up with not a good finish there and beating himself up there late in that race there. So Newman, for those of you looking for the latest updates, looking really good in improving conditions as we speak right there. So Ryan Newman on the comeback here, and we'll just have to see day to day how he is there. So obviously not cleared to race, but expected to race. That is a good sign again here soon. So definitely continue to have him and the family in his prayer. It is time to take halftime here. Stage break of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. That is the end the first half of the podcast. When we come back on the other side, Kyle Busch dominates again the truck series and lots more. Hey, y'all, stay tuned.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Wide Podcast rolling on this late February afternoon, entering lunch hour here, EG3 for the 3-Wide Podcast, EG3, Eddie Gruder III, host of the podcast, Gander, Xfinity, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. This is the Race Reaction Edition of the podcast here, and I'm just doing the top three right now. Moving over to the standings really quick here. From the Cup Series, Ryan Blaney, your regular season leader, hitting the Auto Club this weekend by 3. Imagine that. Number 3, obviously a focal point of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Blaney by 3 over Logano. Race leader Logano from Vegas and Kevin Harvick, who is out by 4 points. Meanwhile, in the Xfinity Series, Chase Briscoe, huge win at Vegas last weekend. He's up by 7. And this is the regular season standings, obviously. Not talking playoffs right now. Noah Gregson, 7 on him. And then Harrison Burton, sticking around in there. Minus 12 from the leader there for Harrison Burton there. In the Xfinity Series, the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series kicked off the triple header weekend, which saw another dominant performance from none other than, guess who? Yeah, Kyle Busch getting it done again for win number 57. Kyle Busch spanked the field again. Kyle Busch over 100 laps led. Why not? 108 to be exact. Just took the trucks field to the woodshed like he has done over his longevous career in NASCAR, and that's going to continue here. Top 5 here, Johnny Sauter led the regulars there from Thor Sport, finishing 2nd, led 7 laps there. Austin Hill rallying back for a strong top 3 finish again. Austin Hill, the last time the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series was there, Hill, dominant performance in the playoffs last fall. Hill backed it up with a strong 3rd finish. Place finish, excuse me. Matt Crafton, your defending champ, 4th. Ben Rhodes, your top 5. Right at the top 10, Zane Smith, Todd Gillen there finishing in the 7th spot. Tanner Gray bringing home in the 8th position. Stuart Friesen and Sheldon Creed, the back half of the top 10 right there. And a bigger story coming out of the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series is obviously circling back to Kyle Busch. It all started with Kevin Harvick and putting out the bounty, $50 bounty, that any cup guy that beats Kyle Busch in the Truck Series. We get that. Obviously, there was a lot of back and forth, wherever you want to call it there. Kyle Busch was not happy when talking about it to the media about it. So, but hey, and then obviously, you know, Kevin Harvick and nobody does knock off Kyle Busch. Will give the fund the money over to the good cause, which was to Kyle Busch's charity, which is the Kyle and Samantha Busch's charity, which is Bundle of Joy, helping families who are dealing with infertility. I did not say that right. With issues getting pregnant. So there is that right there. So yeah. There's that for that particular event right there. So Kyle Busch was not particularly happy with that, or was disgusted, whatever it was. But they, or whatever it is, but hey, in the end, it's donated to Kyle Busch's charity, Inventor. Yeah, I cannot say the word right now to buy a bucket right now, but yeah, absolutely. No, Kyle and Samantha, you know, anybody knows with the past of theirs, and then obviously they have Braxton there. But anyways, turning back over to the trucks there, Kyle Busch again win the race, and obviously with the whole Cup guys going entering in their trucks and whatnot. Yep, Kyle Busch has 4 more races. They are obviously ending in KC late May. He'll be in Kansas there. We still don't know. We got a lot of stuff going on that we still got to figure out. Big D, me and Big D have to figure out what's going on, if we're going to go to KC or not, given my situation, which I'll share out here in a few moments. But yeah, he'll be racing in KC this year, man. So yeah, we'll see if we'll make that appearance there. Obviously, Kansas Speedway, for those of you who don't know, is my home track there. He'll be racing Homestead. He'll be back in Atlanta, and I believe might be missing a track in there somewhere in there. But anyways, there, Kyle Busch, another spanking in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series racers in the 3-Wide Podcast with EG3 continues here in Inventorily Park. I'm trying to say that word right, and I'm still not saying it, so I'm gonna stay away from that. But anyways, you get the point where I'm saying. Anyway, so the next time the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series will be racing on track will be in, as I switch gears real quick to their schedule here before talking point standings, at least the top 3. Here, the Georgia 200. Yep. Next on the list, I believe Texas is on that list here for Kyle Busch, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, here, the Georgia 200, March 14th, 11:30 Central Time, 12:30 Eastern Time, the Georgia 200. Next time the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series takes center stage, that's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, my home state. Georgia 200 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. All right, ladies and gentlemen, moving to the standings right now for the top 3 right now. In virtue of his 3rd place finish, Austin Hill gains the lead. He's +9 on Johnny Sauter. And Ben Rhodes quietly sitting there in the 3rd spot. He's just 1 point above Brett Moffitt heading into the couple of weeks off that trucks there are getting into right there. So trucks are in the garage here for a couple weeks, unfortunately, but they'll be back here in a couple weeks in the Peach State of Georgia. Eddie Greer for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast rolls on. And now, so been the last roller, well, if you want to say roller coaster, but it's been a crazy last week and change for me and my family. So yeah, so why that 500 episode got late, you know, last week, because yeah, unexpected surprise, if you will, not unexpected, but surprise, surprise, your baby has been born. You better get down to Wichita and get here soon as you can. Yeah, I thought it was some kind of a funny joke. if you will. Just got done finishing dinner. This was last, I'm backing tracking to last week, folks. Last week, Tuesday night, February 18th, it'll be a day that none of us will ever forget. My wife gets the phone call first, obviously, and this was during the surprise baby shower that she's at work. She works two jobs, and obviously her focus is on owning the dance studio, which she currently is right now. Obviously, she owns her own dance studio. For those who don't know, obviously, surprise baby shower. She does not know, obviously, but she's at her baby shower at this moment in time. Gets the call first, leaves it. This is all, I guess, God's plan. God moving around. I get the call around just after 7:30. At the timeline between 7 and 7:30. And I'm in complete shock. I thought this was some kind of joke. My first reaction of it saying, I thought something bad happened with our baby girl. Alright, so, and then obviously say that again, and then everything was in total complete shock. So, cleaning up, dinner was already made. Having to put that away, clean dishes and clean everything up in a nice cleanly form. Get all that together and get cold baths together, whatnot, go down there. Finally, the house around 8 o'clock, and then didn't get to Wichita until just a tad before 10:30 at night. And walk in the hospital, see your baby girl born, birth mother at that moment in time was dealing with some minor complications and whatnot. So we were in the hospital for 3.5 days there, and that's why I did not get the 500 episode uploaded in time. Usually, you know, we have our weekly episodes on Wednesday, and we're going to probably push them back now to every Thursday now. So that there's that news for y'all. But anyways, that's not important. But the important thing is there, our baby girl is doing well. Emma Lee was born 7:08, so we were not there to see this thing go down. I would have had an issue with all the baby alien stuff what was going on. I could not handle that. I was not going to handle that very well, even though our birth mom wanted us in that delivery room. I was not going to handle that well, obviously. So so it might have been a blessing in disguise. What not? 7:08, baby Emma was born. And we were in the hospital that long because they had to do tests and whatnot, do a 40-hour test and whatnot to see, you know, to see if the complication would affect our daughter. It turns out to be not. Thank Jesus for that. She wished she did not get home till Friday night, really, of last Friday night and everything else. So, and getting adjusted to the whole hashtag parent life thing that one of my dear friends put it on Twitter. So that has been exciting and exhausting at the same time, getting used to everything else and adjusting everything else, putting the focus on Emma and everything else like that. So, man, guys, gals, it has been one roller coaster journey of a ride. Wouldn't have it any other way. And what's lost in between this now, we're on the last leg of this thing, so Emma is obviously going to be ours. It's not finalized yet. We're in transition now of finalizing this thing, and you know, I'm not going to put all of the case, tell you all the case what's going on right now. So we should know hopefully soon of our court date. Finalization of the court date, we're gonna have to go back down to Wichita, Kansas. And for those of you who do not know what Wichita is, that is 2 hours away from Manhattan. And to put it in Clint Boyer's terms, Clint Boyer, who's from the Kansas area, the state of Kansas, the Emporia area, that's about an hour and change from Emporia. To go back down there and finalize everything, and hopefully everything will be a smooth ride. Let's finish this marathon. Well, shouldn't say marathon. Let's finish this last leg of the adoption strong, and she'll be Greer approved, baby. So that's what we're praying for sure. Who I would like to thank all of you guys for being a part of this as well, who have been a part of this, who've hopped on from the get-go as well. So definitely it's been it's been that for sure though. But she is home, and that's why I'm recording this podcast, getting the all of a sudden, hey boss man, I gotta go. I will not be back at work for quite a while, but I'll be back full time on Monday, as I said in the top of the podcast. Got some things going on this weekend, starting tomorrow with the KCA tournament after Emma's next doctor's appointment, which is prior to that. So I'm going to go to that. And then after that, it is game time with Flint Hills on Angel 95 with their playoff tournament with their KCAA tournament there on Angel 95. I'll have coverage of that with the boys game. This could be an all-day thing, all-day event, depending on how the boys do. Facing Tyro, so that's a team that both teams faced earlier in the season there. So we'll see what happens there. Excited there. And then obviously the championship games on Saturday. So very excited to get back slowly at it. And then obviously back to work on Monday. But folks, guys, it's been a blast having Emma at the house there. So, and the wife is doing well as well. And she has the full maternity leave as well, as I gotta go back to work on Monday. So man, it's just been more of a journey, and hopefully with this last leg everything gets finalized and be Greer official when this thing goes down. So very, very anxious to get that thing rolling. It's 3Wide Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer the third with y'all on this Thursday afternoon now, lunch hour, 3Wide Podcast here. And like I said, get this out to y'all tonight for y'all listening pleasures here heading into race weekend. And staying on the basketball topic here, yep, I'll be at basketball, the radio stuff this weekend. And yep, I will most likely miss out on the K-State KU round 2 edition when KU comes to town. Obviously, KU is going to be the number one team, or is, as we speak right now, according to this podcast, the number one team in the country right now. And we all know what happened the last time these guys butted heads. This was after the fact that Dejuan Gordon stole the ball from DeSilvio DeSosa, and then y'all, the thing went haywire on nationally and everything else. First Take, most likely Undisputed, and what all those other talk shows and whatnot. It definitely hit ESPN for sure. And K-State has had a shitty season, no doubt. Cardi Ajayi, the whole episode there, yada yada yada. I can go on and on and on all day long for y'all, but I ain't got time for that. KU coming to Bramlage, and if K-State can right the ship here, at least get in the year somewhere. Obviously, it's been hell for K-State, obviously, Bruce Weber. This is not how I pitched this season, how none of us really from the citizens of Manhattan here in Manhattan, Kansas, pitchers that obviously were picked to finish bottom of the league, if you will, after some of this talent we had coming back. Like, you would have thought that Xavier Sneed making that last late minute decision coming back, Cartier Jada, McCall Maywean, McGurl, you would have thought that, hey, we'll be much more competitive than this. Obviously, it's been a complete 1-360. They have been completely awful. And some of this talent, freshman talent, like Dejuan Gore, he's underperformed this year. Antonio Gordon has had his moments. Montavious Murphy he's been consistently good, but man, it's been a struggle for these guys, and it only going to get worse. The beatdown at Baylor on Tuesday night in Waco, Baylor come off that loss there on Tuesday night there, getting blown apart right there. I'm trying to pull up the standings right there, but yeah, KU, K-State, the number one team in the country, K-State, 9-19, nothing to be laughing about at all coming in this race here. Not this race, excuse me, this basketball game. Ugh, it's just been flat out ugly, to say the least right there. So, KU, 25-3, taking on the worst team in all of the Big 12 there, K-State. Two conference wins there. Not going to get a job done. Obviously, Bruce Weber not going to be fired this year, obviously. You're just coming off of Big 12, one of his two Big 12 titles in his tenure at K-State. And yep, definitely next year. You don't want this next year, obviously. You have this type of year next year with the recruiting class coming in to K-State next year. They got some problems for sure. So, I mean, nothing would surprise Manhattan more than K-State show up and just be competitive from start to finish against KU. You have to have something after what took place in Lawrence a month and a half ago. So, can K-State get off the mat? This is a 12:30 game. This has been a long time since a game at Bramlage. KU and K-State game at Bramlage has been an afternoon game. So, hopefully, I'm not going to be watching this game. Obviously, having Angel 95 duties on Saturday. But, this case, they have pride in them. We're just going to have to see and find out. So, that's going to be going on as well this weekend. And, obviously, you know, Black History Month. I want to touch base on that here. I failed to mention that on the podcast, so I want to touch briefly on that. We'll close out with EG3 helmet stickers here. Close out the podcast. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast here. And, you know, obviously Kobe Bryant, you know, some of these schemes here for Auto Club, pretty sweet. Dedicating to Kobe, William Byron, Ryan Blaney, sweet looking rides this weekend with the look. Obviously, the Fame 24, obviously, an iconic number forever associated with Kobe Bryant. So that's going to be awesome to see that thing just roll around the 2.5 racetrack at Auto Club Speedway. But Black History Month, yeah, I want to touch base on that, obviously. And the David Aldridge article that I listened to, or pod that I listened to, the lead that I listened to on The Athletic, which is pretty good as well. But David Aldridge was on there this week, and he talked about his experience going to a NASCAR race. I did not know that he put himself in there as a NASCAR enthusiast, if you will, as a fellow African American who loves NASCAR as well, who does a podcast on NASCAR. Gotta say, that's awesome to hear his version, and very intriguing episode of that as well. He gave his thoughts a little bit, you know, talking about, you know, all this other stuff, and then, you know, not having, well, you know, being, you know, wide open to this thing. Yeah, you mean, back in the day, you had, obviously, you know, it's been a topic of a discussion, not just now. It's been a topic of discussion, you know, the Drive to Diversity guys I had on this podcast last year. It was awesome to interview them, and we'll be bringing them, most likely bringing them back on the 3-Wide podcast. Stay tuned for that as well. So excited to have them back on as well, giving them their different backgrounds and whatnot. So the episode with David Aldridge in the lead was definitely intriguing and very enlightened to hear his version, as well as the NASCAR fans treated him a different color, as he attended a NASCAR race, I believe it was last year or recently, can't remember off the top of my head, but definitely, you know, Black History Month, obviously Bubba Wallace, you know, getting that top 10 finish at Vegas last weekend, huge for him. Obviously, you know, didn't run there. Did not run there, but hey, as me and Big D, fans of Bubba Wallace, you know, great to see him, that 43, iconic number, get a great finish, like, right there. So, yeah, man, as February comes to a close, I want to acknowledge that on the show here today as well to everyone there doing work in the African-American community and playing contributively, really, like the Rosh Karoo, who we had on this podcast last year as well. And for whatever reason, me and Big D has talked about that. We might bring that back out. Yeah, we don't know yet. This might be a spur of moment thing here. Stay tuned to your social media for that as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. But might bring it on, might not. But I want to acknowledge that as well. So many, what am I doing here? So many African Americans who've made huge impact on this sport, and they're going to continue to be impact on the sport, whether it's in the pits, you're a race car driver, or you're up and coming race car driver, or doing something in the media. We're seeing guys, you know, Darian Gillian doing his stuff in the YouTube community as well. I'm doing stuff here in the Manhattan area, including nationally with this podcast, as well as so many others who are trying to be an example for the African American community in the sport, and trying to be a small part of this community. So definitely kudos to the African American community, myself included in that as well. EG3 stickers, folks, to close it out, folks, real quick here before we gotta go. It's time to eat. It's lunch hour here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Run it down real quick for you folks here. Joey Logano, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ty Dillon, EG3 helmet stickers. They're in the Cup Series. Chase Briscoe, Ryan Sieg, Noah Gregson for the second straight week in the Xfinity Series side. Ben Rhodes, Zane Smith, Tanner Gray, EG3 helmet stickers of the week. And then Big D's honorable mention, of course, I touched on him already just moments ago, Bubba Wallace, EG3 helmet sticker, Big D's honorable mention. That is your 3Wide EG3 helmet stickers of the week. Logano, Stenhouse, Ty Dillon, Bubba Wallace, Briscoe, Sieg, Gregson, Rhodes, Zane Smith, and Tanner Gray, folks, ladies and gentlemen, on 3Wide NASCAR podcast. And I had something I want to say, and I just lost there for a second there. But yep, Xfinity Cup this weekend in the Auto Club Speedway this weekend, continuing coverage of the West Coast Swing. Got my first win, driver win, in the lap track fantasy here real quick here. Again, off to a slow start there, hoping to make some ground now up with that. Logano getting me a win there in the lap track fantasy. Everybody else there, you know, Ekis had a good run there until, I don't know what happened with him there, ended up finishing 23rd, and then obviously Daniel Hemric's 2-point finish cost me additional points there. That really hurt me in that regards there. And of course, Wrecking and Racing, pretty decent there weekend there for me there. Me picking Kevin Harvick and Alex Bowman, who ended up almost contending for a victory out in Vegas there, gave me a whopping 71 points there in the weekend. I don't know where I'm at standing wise with that. So Auto Club this weekend, it's going to be interesting. I talked about it earlier, the first half of the podcast. We'll just see what happens there. Your defending winner, Kyle Busch, will he show up this weekend? Will the whole Toyota camp show up, or will the improvements of the Chevy camp continue to rise up there? And we'll just continue to follow up the stories there. So we'll see what happens there. It's time to close out the program for this week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, Race Reaction Edition of the podcast. Remember, you can follow me at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter, and find the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. We will get you guys caught up with that. And of course, Big D, myself, will get this uploaded tonight for your weekend. plans as well. Auto Club, we are coming for you guys. Enjoy the weekend. Have a blessed weekend. Eddie Greer here, EG3, saying thank you for listening to this week's episode of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And Lord willing, we will catch you on the other side. Congratulations to the winners this weekend. Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, and Chase Briscoe. Auto Club, buckle up. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3.
Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 Wide.